Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Cancer is a Racket when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it. A Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax. And a fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that government is doing to produce, to prepare, or to deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, and 72% for a drink? Does the guy in the pizza parlor, does he make a 38% profit on that pizza that he has to buy the ingredients to make, and then he has to prepare it, he has to cook it, he has to serve it, he has to pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? So why then does government get paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about cancer. Cancer is a racket. It's a racket which is created by a number of players in the game. Government, number one, plays the racket, the racketeer. Number two, the American Medical Association. Number three, the American Cancer Society. And then number four, all of the physicians and the healthcare providers that participate in the racket. They all benefit from it. And you and I, the consumer, the customer out here, we're the ones that pay this bill. And the bill is pretty big for cancer. It's $500 billion a year. That's a bundle of money. That's as much money as we pay for all of the public education in America. Public education costs about $500 billion a year. Okay? Now, that's as much money as we pay for national defense. If you take all of the guns and all of the airplanes and aircraft carriers and all of the service personnel and their wages and pay and building of aircraft carriers and so on, all of that costs about $500 billion a year. And when we get all through spending that $500 billion a year, we can say, well, we got national defense for that. We got some real hardware. We got F-16s and F-14s and aircraft carriers, and we got a couple of wars going. We can see where our money's gone. And with public education, you bundle your kid up and send him off to school every day. You can actually go by the physical plant. You can look at the school. You can talk to his teacher. You can see his report card, and you can rest assured that you're now paying $500 billion a year. Well, you and everybody else combined. Now, cancer costs us, you and me and everybody out there, $500 billion a year also. Now, can you point to anything that we're receiving for that $500 billion, that $500 billion a year? You got any report cards? Have you got any of this, that, or another thing? Is there any F-16s or buildings over here that you can point to and say that this is where our money is going? This is what we're spending our money on. Now, the government can argue, well, you know, we kept all of the bad guys from attacking America and taking us into national captivity last year with all of our nuclear submarines, so it was $500 billion well spent. Now, what can allopathic medicine say? Well, here's what they tell us. They tell us, we need you to voluntarily give us more money. The $500 billion a year that you're now spending on cancer isn't enough, and we need more. So now, in addition to that $500,000 that you Americans are spending, we want you to voluntarily donate money to a charity called the American Cancer Society. We want you to voluntarily give of your money, your time, effort, and energy. We want you to walk. We want you to march. We want telethons. We want you to give us more money for cancer research so that we can find a cure for cancer. That's because cancer is a big mystery. We don't know what causes it. Well, wait a minute. Is there some source of information out there that could give us a clue as to what causes cancer? Is cancer caused by smoking cigarettes? Because my grandmother smoked from the time she was 18 years old until she was 85. She smoked a pack of Camel Steads every day, except for the 4 years during World War II when she couldn't always get Camel Steads and she had to smoke something else. And she did die of a stroke, all right. It finally did her in. But she didn't die from cancer. Which just goes to show you that smoking doesn't always cause cancer. I mean, it could cause five other things, but it didn't cause, in her case, it didn't cause cancer. Because when they cut her open and took a look at her, they found out that that was the stroke that did it. Now, she lived to be 88 years old when it was all said and done, which was 18 years more than her allotted 70. And so she did pretty well. Well, John Wayne lived to be 70. He did die from lung cancer, all right. Now, he died from lung cancer, but he lived his 70 years, and I think he smoked most of his life. Now, this isn't an infomercial on smoking and how smoking is good for you. I just wanted to point out that if you were to say smoking causes cancer, you know, we'd have to sit back and say, well, there's some exceptions to that rule. And that's certainly true. There are some exceptions. But if you take a look at the empirical evidence and you take a look at the population as a whole and you say, well, now take a look at the group of people over here that smoke. Then take a look at these Mormons over here that don't smoke. Now take 100 out of each one of those groups, test them all, how many of them have cancer, you'll find that cancer is more prevalent in the group that smokes than in the group that doesn't smoke. So while the tobacco industry was technically correct, they could point to it and say there isn't any empirical evidence that would link cancer and smoking. Yeah, there actually was. There actually was. Statistically, we could take a look at groups of people and we could come to a conclusion. You know, maybe it wasn't exactly as scientific as scientists would like it to be, but, you know, pretty close for government work, you know. It's pretty close for a farmer out here in the field. Now, the general consensus of opinion is that disease is accidental. It's capricious. There's just no way to tell who's going to get cancer and who isn't. Well, that's not true. That's the general belief. You know, when I was a kid, the big bugaboo was polio. And I mean to tell you that we were all fearful and timid of polio. And that's because it struck thousands and thousands, and mainly children, not always. You know, President Roosevelt was struck by polio, and he was an adult. But it was especially virulent among children. And here you were, you know, I was 12, 13, 14 years old, and one of my buddies, Ed O'Neill, he got cancer, polio. He came down with polio. Now, surprisingly, he was the only one of my close buddies as a child that got polio that I knew of. But everybody was afraid of it. So we spent money, and we gave money to the March of Dimes, and we did everything we could to find a cure to infantile paralysis. And there was a big deal, and it made a lot of money. And I think the powers that be took a look at polio and said, wow, look at this as a cash cow. Look at this. You create fear in people. And while the fear is actually misplaced, the actual number of people getting polio, it wasn't 1 out of 2. It was maybe 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000. I don't know exactly what the numbers were, you know, but it certainly wasn't 1 in 2, and that's where cancer is today. In your lifetime, imagine this, in your lifetime, just look around the room. How many people do you see in the room? 4. 2 of you out of that 4 in that room are going to come down with cancer in your lifetime. Now, that's the statistical odds. It is so much worse, so much more prevalent than polio is to me, non-existent. It's just it's a no-brainer, as they say. It's not even on the radar screen. Now, cancer is big. It's big business. And there's no cure, hasn't been, and isn't going to be. Now, how can I be so confident that there isn't going to be a cure to cancer? Well, I've already reported to you that there are 14 cures to cancer. I mean, if you had cancer and you were sitting here in my office, I'd say, well, that's a tough break. I'm sorry to hear that. What are you going to do about it? And you might say to me, well, I've got a clue. I guess I'll go to the doctor and see what he says. And that's the response. That's what you get from everybody. But why do you say, gee, I guess I'll go to the doctor? Why don't you say, gee, I guess I'll go to my priest and ask him? Or, gee, I guess I'll go to my boss and ask him? Or, gee, I'll go ask a policeman. I mean, you might as well go ask your boss or the policeman or a priest, because if you go to the allopathic medical doctor, where it's where you're going, he's going to say, we don't know what causes it, and we don't know how to cure it. And I think that's what your priest is going to say. Well, we don't know what causes cancer, and we don't know how to cure it. And so let me suggest that you go to the medical doctor. And it's because the medical doctor has a treatment. And the priest doesn't. The policeman doesn't. Your boss doesn't have a treatment. But the medical doctor does. He says, come in here, and we're going to give you treatment. We're going to sympathize with you. We've got a good bedside manner. I mentioned this the other day. I said, you wouldn't do this with your automobile. I mean, you wouldn't take your car to a mechanic who says, I don't know what's wrong with it, and I don't know how to fix it, but for $25 an hour, I'll work on it. The medical doctor, he says to you, I don't know what causes it, don't know how to cure it, but for $100,000, I will treat it for you. And we line up. We cannot wait to go get that pap smear or to go get that test or to go get that breast removal. And it consequently, it produces a $500 billion a year industry. But why? Why do you line up? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's irrational. But we do it. Now, let's take a look at cause here. Let's see if we can understand, where does this cancer come from? Because in 1900, we would have said the same thing. We don't know what causes cancer, and we don't know how to cure it. But it only affects one person out of 33. Today, 100 years later, it affects one person out of 2. And we still don't know what causes it, and we don't know how to cure it. Well, that's the general conception, the general belief. Now, there are 759 statutes, laws, and judgments in the Bible. And that includes the Ten Commandments, which can be divided into 133 areas or 133 subject matters for convenience. Now, the one that we want to deal with here at this time is disease, sickness, and plague. So if we take the entire Bible and we code-plete it out, we'd find that there were 133 subjects in there concerning law. And there is one subject matter in the Bible that specifically deals with disease, sickness, and plague. I don't know if you knew that or not, but let me inform you. that there is. There's quite a lot said in the Bible about sickness, disease, and plague. Now, whether you call cancer a sickness, a disease, or a plague, no, hang a label on it. Maybe it's a plague. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a disease. Well, the Bible talks about that. Tells you what causes it. Now, I know that you went to public school and you learned about evolution, and you probably don't believe that there is a God out there, but I'm not here to convince you that there is. I just want to give you some information. Assuming, just for the sake of discussion here, assuming that there is, just for academics here, could it be that if there is a God over here, evolution then isn't true, that you didn't just accidentally evolve, didn't just accidentally show up on the scene, that you were in fact a created creature, just like a 747. It doesn't just appear. 747s don't just appear in nature. You don't just, be walking through the Amazon jungle and, peel away some leaves and say, "Oh my God, what's that? It's a bird." No. It's a plane here in the Amazon basin, a 747, primed, fueled, and ready for takeoff. No airport, no runway, but there it is, sitting there in the mud, in the dirt. Now, the common belief in our society is that sickness and disease are the result of luck. Well, if you're an evolutionary creature over there, what in the hell else can you ascribe sickness and disease to? It's just, not everybody gets cancer. Not everybody gets disease and plague. And even when plague is running rampant like bubonic plague, not everybody gets it. So, the common belief is it's just bad luck. My friend Ed, it was just bad luck that he got polio and the rest of us didn't. Now, if you're lucky, you stay healthy. If you're unlucky, you get sick. Now, at the turn of the century, medicine was divided into two main camps. It was called allopathic medicine and holistic medicine. Allopathic, that's the scientific group. That's the group that won the war, won the game. They're the medical doctors of today. We call them MDs. They're allopathic physicians. The holistic group are called naturopaths. Now, the difference between these two camps is that one is scientific, and he believes in drugs, in surgery, cut, burn, and poison, intervention. You're sick? By God, we got to do something about that. The other guy, the naturopath, he's called a holistic physician. Luke, in the Bible, was a holistic physician. He was called a physician. And he treats disease a little differently. He looks at your body and he says, there's something missing. You're missing some nutrients. You've got some poisons in here that need to be removed. But he treats your body differently. He doesn't think that drugs are going to solve your problem. He doesn't think that just cutting this tumor out is necessarily the answer. Okay, there's two camps here. Now, that's in 1900. Now, this allopathic camp won the struggle, and our society as a whole now subscribes to this allopathic theory of disease and their cures. Now, the problem with all of this is that the allopathic medicine is a reactive form of treatment, not a proactive form. For example, it treats the symptoms. It does not treat the cause. That's very important. Now, in the case of scurvy is caused by a vitamin C deficiency. We all know that. You heard that in school. There are a number of these deficiency diseases, and as a result of that, they're very simple to cure. We just give you vitamin C. If you were to develop scurvy symptoms, we would say, well, what you need to do is take vitamin C, and then the symptoms will go away. And sure enough, when we test it and we actually do it in the hospital or in the laboratory or in the doctor's office, that's what happens. It just goes away. And we say, oh, he's been cured. All right, so now we know what one cause is, and we know what one cure is. Well, now, if scurvy is simple enough, you know, you got these symptoms and it's painful and you need relief and you go to the doctor and he says, oh, you got scurvy. That's one of 450 diseases here in my physician's desk reference. It says right here, send you down to the pharmacy and give you this prescription. This prescription is made up of vitamin C. And so you go down, you spend your money, you buy the prescription, you take it home. Now listen, not everybody gets scurvy. In fact, we try to prescribe a diet for you that gives you vitamin C. That's why we tell you, you know, go to the salad bar and get some green peppers and tomatoes and oranges and drink a glass of orange juice every day so you get vitamin C. Then you don't need to go to the doctor. You don't need the pain, suffering, and anguish. You don't need to go to the drugstore and get the prescription. Now, assuming that we couldn't get the vitamin C in any other form other than from the prescription at the druggist, I suppose that the money spent would be well worth it. But this prescription is going to cost you a few bucks. And, you know, if in your diet, if you were to just include a little vitamin C, now I'm pushing 70 years old and I have never had scurvy in my entire life. I have never had an acute vitamin C deficiency in 70 years. Not just special. Doesn't mean that I won't have next year or the year after. I had gout a couple of times. That was a toxic condition. I ate too much protein too fast and developed symptoms. Then I quit eating protein, stopped eating meat, just ate vegetables for about a week, and the gout went away. So now we know what causes gout. It's an acute concentration of protein. You can do it. Just go on a meat diet. Don't eat anything, just eat meat for about a week or two. And when you get through, you're going to have swelling and pain in the joints of your ankles. And you won't be able to walk. You're going to have great distress. Then go to the doctor. And assuming that he can come up with the diagnosis that you've got gout, well, I went to a doctor. He couldn't diagnose gout. He said he didn't know what it was and offered me a prescription. Painkiller. I said, hey, doc, I don't need a painkiller. What I need is a cure for whatever is ailing me. I don't know what it is, and obviously you don't know either. But I'm not short of painkiller in my diet. I'm not suffering from a deficiency of morphine. I don't know what I've got, and I don't know how to cure it, but I can see right now that you don't either. So I declined the prescription, paid him his $75 for the two x-rays, and walked out. Now, he's an allopathic physician. Most people don't do that. They would take the prescription, they go down, have it filled, pay their money, and then they would take the morphine and it would alleviate the pain. I say, God love that doctor. I was in great pain this morning, and now this afternoon I'm all drugged up and I feel real good. I don't have any pain. And then you can sit down and eat another steak, and it'll cause more pain. You can take some more painkiller, and then you can eat some more steak, and you take some more painkiller. And that's what we do with diabetes. We never cure the diabetes. We just keep pumping you full of insulin. We give you a prescription. You run down to the doctor, the druggist, and he gives you some insulin. You take it home. You shoot up with insulin, and everything's okay. You're incapacitated for the rest of your life. You're a cash cow for the doctor and the druggist and for the federal government because they get paid taxes from the doctors and the druggists. Can you see how people are profiting? You've got this disease, diabetes, scurvy, gout. And if you go to the allopathic medical doctor, he can take the pain away. Hell, I don't deny it. You know, look, 300 million Americans can't be wrong, and 300 million Americans, well, not quite 300, but about 88% of people out there, which would be, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 275 million, 275 million people in this country or thereabouts believe in allopathic medicine. They do not believe in holistic medicine, as evidenced by the fact that only 8 states in the union recognize and license holistic naturopathic physicians. And the other 42 states outlaw them. It's against the law to practice holistic medicine. And we'll put you in jail if we catch you. How do you like that? So if you go to a naturopath, now the naturopath, he's going to treat this a little differently. he takes a look at you and he says, oh, you've got swelling in your joints. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he would say, well, based upon my experience, let me ask you a few questions here. How's your diet? What is it that you're eating? And then you say, well, I eat meat and potatoes and vegetables and drink a little orange juice once in a while. And he says, well, now, how much meat are you eating? Well, I eat probably a pound of meat a day. Now, I don't know if you were aware of this. The human body needs 3 ounces of meat a day. 3 ounces. Did you get that? 3 ounces. And hell, I've seen people go in, I don't think they can eat 3 pounds, but they'll eat a pound, you know, easy. When I go to steak and ale, I think that that's a 12-ounce cut, isn't it? And sometimes they give you the super cut, you know, the 16-ounce cut. I used to be able to eat all of that. Now I'm getting to be an old man. I can't eat like I did, you know, when I was a kid. But they give you a lot of this meat. I need 3 ounces. They give me 16. I need 3 ounces. They give me 12. Give me 4 times what I need. And I don't want to waste my money, so I eat it all. The holistic physician would look at you and say, I think you're suffering from gout. I don't need to take any x-rays, and I don't need to give you a prescription for pain. You obviously have a dietary imbalance, so I'm going to prescribe for you that you stop eating all protein, all meat. Stop. I'm going to put you on a diet here. I want you to eat vegetables and fruits. And then I want you to come back next week, same time, same station, and let's take a look at your swelling and inflammation. And so you walk out and you say, well, that clown doesn't do anything for me. He doesn't intervene. He doesn't operate. He doesn't cut. He doesn't give me a prescription. He didn't do anything. And he charged me $50 or $75 for this office call. All he did was give me this crummy diet, and I don't like this diet. Now, if you were to follow that diet, just, you know, for instance, I mean, you're not going to, but just for instance, if you did, you would eliminate protein from your diet. Now, your body, all of it by itself, and without any drugs, without any help at all, is going to process all of the protein that's in your body that's plugging it up, and it's going to dispose of it because you're not going to put any more in. Because the problem that you've got with gout is that you've got a surplus of protein running around in your arteries. I mean, you've got so much protein here in your body can't process it, can't get rid of it, doesn't know what to do with it, and it's sticking it around in all kinds of places, like your joints, and they're swelling up. And the holistic guy, he says, just quit eating protein and it'll go away. And 7 days after you quit eating protein, the pain will go away and your swelling will go down and you will have a cure. And the holistic guy will say, well, I know what causes this thing called gout. It's called an excess of protein in your diet. You're eating more than 3 ounces a day and your body can't take care of that. Now, that's what you need. Now, if you take 6 ounces a day, your body can probably dispose of it. If you're eating 12 ounces a day, your body can probably dispose of it. But there'll come a point in time when you just put so much in there, your body cannot dispose of it, and then you're going to get gout. To test it, you know, if you think I'm lying to you, just once you go out and get off of these fruits and vegetables and all this crap over here, don't taste good anyway, and just eat meat. Just go down to McDonald's and eat McDonald's burgers. And just keep pouring it on. Every time you're hungry, eat meat. See what happens. Probably won't kill you, but it's going to be real painful. And it was real painful when I tested it. All right, now that's the difference between the holistic approach, which is actually do nothing and let your body heal itself. Or let's intervene. Let's take a look at what it is that you're doing that's making this disease cause you this pain. Now, in order to treat the cause of a disease, you have to know what caused it in the first place. So at the risk of sounding simplistic, I contend that the primary cause of disease is sin. Okay? I'm a simplistic, what do they call you when you're a Bible-thumping jerk? They call you a fundamentalist Christian. Well, I'm not a Christian, so I'm not in that camp. But I do believe that there's a fundamental here, that there's a simplistic answer that's just not a big mystery. If you've got scurvy and you've got a vitamin C deficiency, if you've got gout, you have a toxic condition, excessive protein. It's in the literature. You can go check me out. I didn't invent this. I didn't invent the word gout, and I didn't invent the word scurvy. They were already here long before I ever showed up on the scene. So as a reporter, I'm just reporting old news. This is already there. It's already in the textbooks. Go do a Google search on gout and see what you come up with. I think that's the answer you're going to get. So I think, and I'm going to contend here, that the primary cause of disease, that is disease, sickness, and plague, is sin. And sin now is the transgression of the law. So if you look this up in the Bible, it's in 1 John 3, verse 4. I don't think that disease is a matter of being lucky or unlucky. I think disease is a matter of breaking the law. That there's a law here. I don't know if Congress enacted a law that said, thou shalt not eat 1 pound of meat a day. I don't think Congress or your legislature is concerned with how much meat you eat. But I can tell you, and different people are a little different. I mentioned an old buddy of mine named Darwin the other day. He could drink, I counted, I know, he can drink 16 mixed drinks in the course of 4 hours between 9 o'clock at night when we closed the store at 8 and then checked out, you know, got the cash registers checked out and then got the bank deposit in the bag and then left and went to the restaurant and got there about 9 o'clock, dropped by the bank, you know, put your deposit in, and go to the restaurant, go down to Jake's and sit down, order a round of drinks. Between 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning when the bar closed, Darwin Jensen could drink 16 mixed drinks, along with dinner and conversation and so on, and then get in the car and drive home. Hell, if I drank 10 mixed drinks, I'd be under the table drunk, passed out, and probably on my way to the hospital. Now, your body develops a tolerance. Some people can drink more alcohol than others. My Uncle Carol drank 1 gallon of Gallo red wine a day. Every day. Well, until he was 30. He died young. You know, your liver can't handle a gallon a day, but, you know, it can do it for a while. But then pretty soon you get cirrhosis of the liver and then you die from it. It's just the way life is. It's not that way because I make it that way. It's just a reporter here telling you it's the way it is. Now, maybe you can take more protein than other people, and no doubt more people or some people can eat more protein than others. And maybe some people can go without vitamin C longer than others. But when it's all said and done, we all have to have vitamin C, kids. I don't care who you are or where you live, Darwin Jensen or my Uncle Carol, or you, or me, or anybody else, we all have to have vitamin C. And if you don't, you're going to develop a disease. And the sin, the violation of law, in this case, is you've deprived your body of a necessary element. And then the Bible tells you not to do that. Okay? And I'll show you about that as we progress. Stand by for this reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. I'm going to stress adults here. Don't send any kids around. Adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about cancer is a racket. And it's a racket because the people who are conducting the racket know better. In fact, the people that are conducting the racket knew or know or should have known or should know that it's a racket and that what they're doing is illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. And they do it for profit and gain. And then they do it for profit and gain off of you and I. And you and I foot the bill. And, of course, we foot the bill for national defense. We foot the bill for insurance. We foot the bill for the public school system. All of these are criminal activities that are prohibited in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that or not, but your Creator told you, don't do that. And now you came along and you said, well, now I know more than God, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. Okay. God's a pretty broad-minded fellow. And he hasn't interfered with your insurance program. And he hasn't interfered with your public school program or your national defense program. He says he's going to one of these days, but he hasn't done it yet. And he's not doing it now. And so this will give you a great opportunity to experiment. I mean, you can do this for years and years and find out how it all comes out. After all, that's what this process of life is all about. It's to give you an opportunity to reinvent the wheel over and over and over again. And the same thing with sickness and disease. Now, this thing of sickness and disease is created by the Creator. It's a part and parcel with life. Scurvy is a creation. It's a result. It's just a natural phenomenon built right into the product. If you deprive the product, that's your body, of vitamin C, you will develop scurvy. You will have great pain. You will die in agony. You will die from scurvy if you don't correct it. But the correction is very simple. You can take all of the antibiotics you want, and it's not going to cure your symptoms of scurvy. You can take sofa drugs. You can stand on your head in the corner. You can take a vacation to Arizona. It ain't going to solve your scurvy problem. Vitamin C is going to do it. Now, you can go to the doctor, the allopathic physician, and get a prescription and go to the drugstore, and they'll fill the prescription. You know what's in the prescription? Vitamin C. You could go down to Kroger's and buy some oranges and bring them home, squeeze them, and drink the orange juice, and then do the same thing. Vitamin C. I don't know which is cheaper. Hell, maybe the doctor and the druggist can provide vitamin C for you cheaper than the orange grower in Kroger's supermarket. I don't know. Maybe that's the cheaper place for you to get your vitamin C. Now, If we take a look in the scripture, in this case I'm defining sin as the transgression of the law. Now if we go to Leviticus 26, and write this down now, Leviticus 26, verses 14 through 46. Can you get that all down? Leviticus chapter 26, third book in the Bible, starting in verse 14 through verse 46. Okay, that's one. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's the fifth book in the Bible. Book number 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, there's number 5. Now go to chapter 28. Starts off with chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 9, 11, 15, 25, 26, 27. When you get to chapter 28, stop right there. That's the one we're looking for. Deuteronomy 28, start in verse 15 through verse 68. Got that down? All right, that's 2. And that'll tell you what the cause of disease is. You want to know what causes disease? There's the answer right there. Live and direct. And don't write me an email now and say, well, no, you're a religious fundamentalist nitwit. I'll concede that to you. You can save yourself the time, effort, and energy. But as a reporter, I just thought I'd tell you. If you want to know where cancer comes from, just told you. Just told you. Cancer is a creation. Cancer is a part and parcel with the program. If you're flying a 747, it's got a gas gauge. And when the needle is full over to the right, that means the tank is full. When it's full over to the left, that means the gas tank is empty. If you want to test it, you want to find out how well the 747 flies without fuel, test it. It's a part and parcel with the creation. When it runs out of fuel, it will come down. There isn't any two ways about it. Now, most of us can understand that. That's not a big mystery. You know, you got to have fuel. You got to have power. Make that airplane go up in the air. When the power shuts off, runs out of gas, the airplane comes down. How the coming down finishes out will kind of depend on where it comes down, you know. Now, if you want to know what this cause is, what this thing called sin is, you go to John 3, verse 4. This is 1 John 3, 4. Not the book of John now. That's in the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got to go a little further. Just keep turning the pages in the New Testament. Just keep turning the pages until you get toward the back. When you get to Revelation, you went too far. And so you gotta go backwards now a little bit. And you're going to find 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. All right, so what you're looking for here is 1 John, just a letter, five chapters. Chapter 3, verse 4, and it's going to tell you what the definition of sin is. And also see Leviticus 26, 16, 26, 25. And then Deuteronomy 28, verses 21 and 22 and 27 and 28 and 35 and 45 and 59 to 61. They're all going to tell you what the cause of disease is. And I didn't write it. It ain't me. It ain't me trying to get you converted. Don't have to give your heart to Jesus. You don't have to go to church or take communion or do jack squat. And there's the answer. Now, in many cases, disease is caused by a nutritional deficiency or by a toxic buildup in your body or by a combination of the two. All right, so it's very simple. No big mystery about the cause of disease here. If you think you were just walking down the street and opened your mouth and you breathed in this polio virus and got polio, you're wrong. That isn't the way it works at all. Not by any stretch of your imagination. Nobody ever got the flu that way. Although, disease can be communicable. Not suggesting now that you know, if somebody comes into the room with bubonic plague and starts sneezing, that we can't come down with pneumonic plague. But I want to emphasize here that the bubonic, pneumonic, and cystisemic plague does not affect everybody. Just like my grandma smoked Camel cigarettes, you know, for 80, well, not 80 years, but 60 years anyway. Smoked Camel cigarettes for 60 years and died of a stroke. She didn't die from lung cancer like John Wayne. She died. She was terminal, but, you know, she didn't die from that cause. So let's learn a lesson from that. In fact, when we have communicable diseases, you know, like the Spanish flu here in the United States, 60% of the people in America never got the flu, period. None. But 40% did. Now, of the 40% that got the flu, they didn't have any cure. They didn't have any vaccine. Wasn't anything we could do for you. We could clean up your mess, but there wasn't anything we could do to prevent it or lessen your symptoms. The flu would run its course. And either your immune system could overcome the flu or it couldn't. And if it couldn't, you died. And if it could, you lived. See how simple that is? No big mystery. Here's the key. It's called your immune system. That wasn't just an accident. That was designed. There was a creator. There was a master engineer. That 747 didn't just pop up in the Amazon jungle. It was created. It was engineered. It was designed. And then it was designed to burn fuel. And furthermore, designed to burn a specific kind of fuel. I mean, hell, if you put diesel in that thing, it's going to run. If you put high-test aviation gasoline in there, it ain't going to run good. Runs on JP-8. It's got a special kind of fuel. Now, that's the way your body is. It's designed, and it runs on a special kind of fuel. In fact, it runs on a number of different kinds of fuels. So we call it food. And you have to have this food in order to get calories, and the calories is the energy. It's the octane rating that your calories in the food. Some food has more calories than other. You got to have these calories. Now, in addition to this, there's some other things called vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Got to have them all. Now, go to the physician desk reference, 450 diseases. Gout is in there under G, G-O-U-T, gout. And it'll tell you what causes it. And then the doctor, he can make a prescription. Now, the reason that these medical doctors are running a racket over here is that they speak in Latin, they write in a form that you can't read, and then they have a conspiracy between them, the pharmaceutical industry, the FDA, and the Congress in order to keep this information away from you. And so I'm just taking the opposite tack. I'm just going to come in here and tell you how it works. I don't care how you get your vitamin C. You can buy it from the pharmacist, or you can buy it from Kroger's, or you can grow it yourself. We grow a lot of vitamin C here. Peppers are full of vitamin C, tomatoes. I grow tomatoes and peppers in my garden, bring them in, eat them. I also produce my own meat. Now, it's up to me not to poison myself by eating too much meat. Sometimes I get excited, you know. You kill a cow, you know, you got all these T-bone steaks, you know, and all of a sudden you say, hey, I think I'll have a T-bone steak. Wife says, hey, what do you want for dinner? She would like to have a T-bone steak. Hey, what would you like for lunch? Well, gosh, I think I'll eat a T-bone steak. What do you want for breakfast? I think I'll have steak and eggs. You know, there comes a point in time over here, you know, where too much is too much, ain't it? Kind of like drinking, you know. Drinking's not all bad, but, you know, 16 highballs in 4 hours, don't you think that might be a little much? Hey, don't you think a gallon of wine a day? Hell, most of you people couldn't drink a gallon of water a day. I don't know how in hell my Uncle Carol could get a gallon of liquid into him. I can't drink a gallon a day. I drink water, but not that much. Now, I tell people sometimes, I don't believe you. Well, I don't care. If I told you he drank a half a gallon a day, I wouldn't be telling you the whole story. If I told you he was drinking 2 gallons a day, I'd be lying to you. All I can do is report what I saw, what I heard, what I know. I'm just reporting that my Uncle Carol, he couldn't do that in the early days, but toward the end, you know, just, you know, before he died there, in the year or two before he died, he was up to a gallon of wine a day. That's 365 gallons a year. And he had a hell of a liver. I mean, you stop and think about drinking a gallon of wine a day, and his liver processed that and expelled it from his body. My God, that was a hell of a feat for his liver. You can't tell me that he had a weak liver. No, he finally overwhelmed it. I mean, it came a point in time when he couldn't handle it, but now, that was a real liver my Uncle Carol had. Now, getting back here, in many cases, disease is caused by a nutritional deficiency or by a toxic buildup in your body or by some combination of the two. In the case of nutritional deficiency, it's our failure to practice the land Sabbaths and Jubilee years, among other things, that has led to a gradual lessening of the nutritive value of the food that we eat, which has been so long in coming that in most cases even the experts don't notice the differences unless they're specifically looking for them. Now think of it like a hillside that's being eroded by 1/10 of an inch a year. To see any difference, you'd need pictures taken decades, even centuries apart, for people to say nutrition is important. Now, let's pause and think about this for a second. You know, there's a law in the Bible that talks about land Sabbaths and jubilees in order to maintain the nutritional value of the soil so that you can have nutritional value in the corn that you're eating that's grown off of that soil. Now, you know, if I mention the word land Sabbath and jubilee, you're looking at me, you know, with a blank stare like, huh? And what kind of language is this guy speaking, you know? Land Sabbath means that once every 7 years, you don't farm or grow anything on the land. You let the land rest. You know, kind of like going to sleep at night. You know, you work 18 hours, you put in a big, busy, long day. Now it's time to get some sleep. We're going to let you rest. All right? Now, this land has to rest, and if it doesn't rest, then you mine it, and you're taking the nutrients out of it, but you're never allowing it to build up or put any nutrients back into it. So, just to give you an illustration, if you see a piece of ground out here that's got a thistle or a weed growing on it, that's not all bad, because that thistle is bringing nutrients up out of the inorganic minerals in the soil, putting it in an organic form that's in the stem and the body of the thistle. Then the thistle is going to die at the end of the year. Then it's going to rot. And the termites and the fungus and the bacteria are going to decay it down to dirt again. We call it humus or topsoil, which is then available for the corn and the other plants that you're going to grow here. So once every 7 years, you let this ground rest. Now, we don't do that in this country. Haven't for hundreds of years. And our soil is becoming less and less vibrant, less and less nutritive to the plants that grow on it. To give you an illustration, the protein content of wheat in 1880 in Kansas was 24%. Today it runs 7 to 13%. We've practiced no land Sabbaths in Kansas, and the protein content of the wheat has decreased by about 50%. See where we're going with this? Now, if we just keep on doing this, you know, I guess ultimately you'll eat that wheat and then you'll die from scurvy or die from some deficiency disease because you didn't get enough nutrients out of it. Now, that's what causes disease. It's one of the two causes. Now, gout is a poison or a toxin, and the protein deficiency in the wheat is a nutritional deficiency. Now, protein isn't the only thing that you need. See, you need copper and iron. And you need selenium and potassium. In fact, here's a book for you to write this down. It's called Rare Earths, R-A-R-E, Earth, E-A-R-T-H-S, apostrophe S. And it's written by a guy named Joel, J-O-E-L, Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. And you can find this guy, Joel Wallach, on the internet. Wrote a book, him and his wife, called Rare Earths, and he identifies the 92 elements that you have to have in your body. 92 minerals, vitamins, and amino acids. 16 amino acids, and I forget now, 20 or 24 or so vitamins, and then the balance of them are minerals. And if you take any one of those away, take vitamin C away, you get scurvy. Take selenium away, and you get muscular dystrophy. Okay? Now, this is equivalent to rocket science because everybody's ignorant about this. They shouldn't be. Dr. Wallach isn't ignorant about this. I'm not ignorant about it. Now, most allopathic medical doctors are. Most American citizens are. Most of the people around the world are ignorant of these basic facts of health and disease. You ought not to be, but you are. And if we were to liken this, then, to a hillside, you know, that's being eroded, 1/10 of an inch a year, and it's got 2 feet of topsoil on it. See, I live here in the Ozarks, and in 1880, there was 2 feet of topsoil here. Today, if you can find an inch, you'll be in tall cotton. What happened to the 2 feet of topsoil? Well, they cut all the trees off. Building railroad railroads and bridges and tunnels and railroad ties, and left the ground open to leaching and the rain and erosion, and it all eroded away. So if you want to know where all of our topsoil is, it's sitting south of New Orleans. And that's what happened to our topsoil. Now, that means then that the nutritious crops that we used to grow here in 1860 and 70 are no longer here. They're gone. And now we got to do something else. Now, what else are you doing besides eating at McDonald's and, you know, putting chemical fertilizers on the ground? Yeah, I don't deny it. Chemical fertilizers will grow big ears of corn. But those big ears of corn, instead of having 16% protein, they've only got 8% protein or 6% protein. And like Adolf Steinbrum, you know, using hybrid corn instead of open pollinated corn, you'll have 75% less crude protein, 875% less copper, 345% less iron, 205% less manganese. Boys and girls, when you take these nutrients out of your food supply, it causes disease. That's why you get polio. That's why you get bubonic plague. It's because when you're deficient in these nutrients, your immune system is working at less than 100%. If your immune system is working up at 100%, 90%, 80%, hell, bring them on, as George Bush would say. You know, bring on the viruses. Bring on the bacteria. But when you're deficient in these nutrients, then watch out, because then the bacteria can overwhelm your white blood cells. Now, the difference between these two camps in medicine, you know, you've got the allopathic medical doctor. He's running a racket. He can give you painkillers. He can make you feel real good. And in some cases, he can actually cure your disease. Like in the case of gout and scurvy, the medical doctor, he can cure it. He's going to do it a little differently than is the guy with the holistic approach. See, we have things called diuretics. And we can give you chemicals over here, and we can actually make your body speed up the process of expelling the protein. I mean, think of it like this. I mean, you could go to the medical doctor, he could give you a prescription which would expel the protein and control your gout. Then you could eat more steak. I mean, you could eat steak 3 times a day, go to the medical doctor who could give you some kind of an expectorant which would increase your metabolism to get your body to get rid of the protein even faster. Well, okay, that's one way to look at it. But wouldn't it be more intelligent to just eat less steak? I know it's a wild new concept over here, but moderation, you know, just use your head, common sense. It's cheaper, and it actually, in the long run, is more effective and it's more efficient. All right, we'll be back next time. I'm starting to run out of time here, and we'll come back next time. We'll talk about disease, sickness, and plague, cause and effect, the cause of the disease, and here's how to cure that disease. Best way to do it, I think, is to don't get it to start with. But if you get cancer, what do you do to cure it? That's the key. 63% of people need the cure. All right, let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.